Welcome back to the Reading and Writing Podcast. My guest today is best-selling novelist Jamie Beck, author of the new novel, For All She Knows. Jamie, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, Jeff. I'm glad to be here.
Sure. Well, if someone hasn't heard about your new novel yet, how would you describe For All She Knows?
Well, I guess I could give you a one-sentence tagline, which would be something like, two friends and mothers have to learn to forgive each other for mistakes made when a teen party goes awry. It's basically a story about two friends with differing parenting styles and deals with bullying and teen drinking and the risky behavior that our teens engage in and how we as parents are navigating that landscape right now in our country.
And do you remember the original idea or impetus that led you to write For All She Knows?
Well, I have two teenagers, so, you know, it's been on my mind. And obviously, nationally in the news, we see what's happening on college campuses with teenagers getting injured or dying at fraternity parties and such. And in my own town, unfortunately, in the past 5 years, there have been a number of parties where teenagers have been hurt either intentionally or unintentionally, and also parents who have been arrested for hosting these parties. So as I was watching this happen and trying to keep my own children safe, and I have children who are very social and want to be part of everything going on. So, you know, I wasn't fortunate to have those kids who are happy to sort of stay at home and focus on academics. So, you know, just and my husband and I don't always agree on these exactly how to handle these things either. So there were just so many things going on within my own friend group, within my own marriage, within our community and the country. It felt like a conversation that I wanted to start. And so I wrote the book, setting it up so that everyone makes one mistake, but no one person is fully to blame for what happens, so that it's not preachy and it's not, you know, this is the right way and this is the wrong way, but really hoping to start a conversation among parents that we might all gather together and find some way to, you know, reduce the risk that our kids face right now.
Well, as you mentioned, parenting is such a personal choice. Yes. And decision. How do parents navigate something with such potential consequences as teenage drinking?
It's really tough because, like I said, I have a tight friend group of, say, seven women in my town, and everyone has a different opinion on this. Some are very permissive. Some are very strict. Some fall in the center. My husband and I, I'm more strict. He's more permissive. He grew up in a very permissive environment, so he thinks that's the way to go, and I grew up in a strict one. So I think we're feeling our way. I think one of the key things I would say, looking back, is just to have good communication among the parents of your children's friends so that you don't get blindsided when one of their parents hosts a party and serves your child alcohol without asking you first if you're okay with that and things like that. Like just talking openly about your expectations, talking to your children. And then, of course, we do have to make some compromises along. I mean, I guess we don't have to, but I chose to make some compromises along the way. You know, for the sake of my marriage, for the sake of just peace in the household, you know, trying to hit that place where it felt safe enough, which is a really hard thing for me to say. But, you know, I guess it is personal, and every parent has that right to make those choices for their family. Some decisions bleed over, though, into other families, and that's where it gets tricky.
Sure. And as you have pointed out, I mean, this obviously is a novel, but it's tackling a subject that is, you know, part of our national conversation about teenage drinking. As you said, there have been incidents where parents have been arrested for hosting a party where there was teenage drinking involved. I'm curious, did you do any kind of research for the novel of looking into this topic?
I did a lot of research, and actually these books are set, this is part of a series of books that are set in a fictional town in Maryland. And Maryland has a very unique law. Only five states follow the way that it deals with negligence laws. And so that changed my plot, part of it, because I used to be a lawyer, and I thought I knew what the law would be. And then as I got into Maryland law, I saw that it was different. But I did research. I had an orthopedic surgeon help me with the injury of the child who has the spinal injury. I had a police officer and two personal injury lawyers and defense lawyers help me make sure I was getting the legal parts, you know, correct enough for fiction. Obviously, you know, in a story, it's never perfect because the timelines and stuff have to be crunched and so forth. But I did do a fair amount of research, both on the injury and on the legal side. And I used to volunteer at a public health organization. And when I was involved with them years ago, I had learned a lot of statistics about the effect of drinking at the age of 14 versus 19 and so forth on your brain, on your likelihood for alcohol dependence later and so forth. So some of the statistics and things that are mentioned, you know, in dialogue in the book are from prior experience and just general knowledge on the topic.
So what was your original writing journey that led you to writing and getting your very first novel published?
A long and twisted path. But, you know, when I was young, I wanted to write for film or TV. I loved dramatic movies and shows, but my parents were not very supportive of artistic careers. So I became a lawyer. And, but I was very lucky when I had my first child, I was in a position where I could choose to stay home, which I did. And then I had another child. And then after a few years of being at home, I was sort of, you know, itchy to do something, but I didn't want to go back to being a lawyer. So I thought, well, why don't I try to write a book? So I wrote my first manuscript in secret. I didn't tell anyone in case I didn't finish. And once I finished it, then I went and tried to learn, like, well, what am I, you know, how is this supposed to work? What is the craft? What are the next steps and so forth? I did it backwards, but that really worked for me because had I tried to do craft things first, I probably would have been intimidated and thought I couldn't do it. Mm-hmm. So that manuscript is under the bed and will never see the light of day. But that was what got me excited about it and made me feel like I could learn it, you know? And then I wrote, my third manuscript got me my agent. And then, you know, my agent eventually, you know, we then got into publishing and so forth like that. So, So it was, you know, it was a lot of rejection, like a lot of people, and a lot of learning. And it's constantly learning, right? I think every book is a new adventure, and it's the best book you can write at that point in your career, you know. So, but I've thoroughly enjoyed it. You know, I started in romance and have gradually, slowly shifted over to women's fiction. So, you know, it's all good. I've enjoyed the ride. I've been very blessed, and so I'm very grateful.
Well, you have written many novels and bestsellers as well. I'm wondering, has your writing process changed from that first novel manuscript to when you're working on a novel now?
Yes, in a couple of ways, because the earliest manuscripts were written obviously not on a deadline, and with more joy and less cynicism, you know, and less input from editors and age, you know, there was just a difference in my spirit when I wrote those early books. And then once you're under contract and you have deadlines and you're trying to do a lot of things at one time, I had to get a lot more disciplined and plot. I plotted more as I've gotten more into it. In the beginning, I kind of felt my way along the spine of a story. Now I tend to try to kind of plot out chapter by chapter, even if it's a one line sentence, like this has to happen, this has to happen, just so that I know where I'm going so that I can hit my deadlines.
And that plotting that you just mentioned, do you sit down and do that at at the beginning before you start, or do you kind of get into it and then sit down and plot? What's kind of the nuts and bolts there?
I actually am lucky. I have some plotting partners. So we tend to go away 3 times a year and help each other like think through next books. And so I usually arrive at those weekends with a germ of an idea or a character or a question, a theme, you know, basically that. Like I'll have a theme that I want to talk about, a character that I'm kind of fleshing out, and maybe like the impetus, the inciting incident. What if blank? And then we will work together as a group and start throwing out ideas for how to, you know, best bring that theme to the, you know, to the fore of the story. And then I'll, from that conversation, I will write out sort of like a synopsis in my head of, you know, what has to happen. And often though, I'll get 60% into the manuscript and then realize that what we came up with a few months ago doesn't work so well as I've gotten to know the characters better and gotten into the story more. And so I'm not always wedded to it, but at least it gets me in quickly and I can kind of, you know, run towards that finish line with that messy first draft, and everything can be fixed in revisions.
So given what you just said, it sounds like when you're kind of in the end stages of finishing up a manuscript, you already have in your mind kind of the plot and you're thinking about the next one. Is that correct?
Yes, because usually because we meet frequently enough, I'm, you know, probably finishing a manuscript when I'm already starting to plot the next one.
Gotcha.
I at one point in my career was having to write 3 books a year. So I really had no leeway for rest, you know? So I had to always be kind of planning ahead. Now I think this is my last year where I have 2 releases. And after this, I'm down to 1 book a year, which I think I needed. I was feeling, you know, creatively challenged.
Right. So what writing advice would you offer for those who are kind of at the beginning of their journey and starting to work on their own stories or novels?
Oh my gosh, there's so many things, right? And sometimes it really comes down to the personality of the writer too,
sure,
because it depends on the strengths or, you know, challenges of any individual writer. But primarily I would say that everyone can do this. You just have to commit to it. And I would say block out the noise. Don't do it because you think you want to be a bestseller or because you want to, you have to do it for the love of the story. I often think that the best books are the books that try to have a theme and don't just rely on tropes or like a big plot twist or, you know, like something about the plot. That's all important. But to me, the books that will resonate the most are the ones that focus on characters and like universal themes that, you know, people relate to. And I would say also, you know, like I said at the beginning, I'm always learning. I never turn down opportunities to go to good workshops, to learn from other writers who are much more skilled than I am. And being polite within the industry, because it's a small industry. And, you know, I've seen some newbies come in and be very kind of arrogant or whatever about their talent. And even if you are super talented, that's great. But, you know, there's just a certain, it's just like an office, you know, you wouldn't walk into an office and be rude or be arrogant or whatever. So don't do that either. It's a small universe of writers and it quickly gets around. So.
Sure. So what novels or nonfiction books have you read recently that you enjoyed?
Well, I'm lucky because I get to read a lot of different writers' releases before they come out. So, but one that is out already that I just finished recently, which was a super lovely read. It was called Float Plan, and it's kind of a women's fiction-y romance novel. It's really about grief. The premise is that her fiancé committed suicide, and it's almost the year anniversary, and they were supposed to take his boat and sail the Caribbean. So she's going to take this journey on her own. And of course she does that, but she needs help and she meets a guy. And so the story is about coming out of grief, but it's just the writing to me is very clean and deliberate. And it was a very uplifting story. So I was in the mood for that. I also just read Barbara O'Neill's upcoming Write My Name Across the Sky, which is a gorgeous women's fiction novel. You know, it's sister story, but it's also a multi-generational story, and it's got a little mystery in it, and you know, all the women's fiction elements. It's excellent, so I recommend that. Those are the last two that I've read.
That's great. So, are you working on a new novel now?
I am. I don't like to talk about them when I'm sort of at this stage, but it's a little bit lighter. My last two books have been kind of heavy topics with teen anxiety and cutting, and then this with the teen drinking injury. And then the book that's coming out in September is slightly lighter, but this one I'm working on, I'm trying to stretch myself and do a little bit of humor, but it's basically two neighbors that are about, you know, 15 years age difference. So an empty nester who's trying to take this new young neighbor under her wing, and how that goes wrong. So
that's great.
It's a little bit fun.
Well, where can people find you online if they want to learn more about you and your novels?
Everywhere. I have a website, obviously, which is my name, jamiebeck.com. I'm on Facebook at Jamie Beck Books. I'm on Instagram and Twitter at writer Jamie Beck. Those are pretty much where I'm most active. I'm on Goodreads, obviously, and people can follow me on Amazon as well, so they get notices of new releases and so forth. I do recommend a lot of books. So if people like to get recommendations from authors, if they follow me on Goodreads or BookBub, whenever I don't recommend every book I read, but when I like a book, I'll put up a short review and a recommendation. So that's another way to kind of engage.
That's great. Well, again, we've been speaking with bestselling writer Jamie Beck, author of the new novel, For All She Knows. The novel is on sale now, so go buy a copy. And Jamie, thanks for doing this interview.
Sure. Thank you for having me.
Great.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.